Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust excellence built on 40 years of experience. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more about the Zurich Master Trust.
And you're very welcome to the programme on this Thursday afternoon. A verdict of death by medical misadventure has been returned at the inquest into the death of Aoife Johnston at University Hospital Limerick in December 2022. The 16-year-old girl from Shannon in County Clare was referred to the overcrowded ED with suspected sepsis, but died 2 days later after long delays in being seen by a doctor and up to a 14-hour wait for antibiotics. University Hospital Limerick and the HSE have reiterated apologies to the Johnston family for catastrophic failings and missed opportunities in her case. Well, we're joined now by John Cook from the Coroner's Court in Kilmallock. And John, you might first remind us of what happened to Aoife Johnston.
Yes, Sarah. In offering condolences to the family of the late Aoife Johnston at the conclusion of the inquest this afternoon, Limerick coroner John McNamara said no words could convey the sense of loss they must feel. And he referred to a summary of the inquest's evidence delivered by their legal counsel, Damien Tansey. He had said it was early on the Saturday before Christmas of 2022 when the beautiful Leaving Cert student from Shannon in County Clare came downstairs, like lots of children, he said, in her jammies for breakfast. The family were looking forward to Christmas shopping. They were also preparing for a family meal and a mass that evening, never thinking that Aoife, within a matter of hours, would be effectively dead. He said the 16-year-old Aoife was the youngest of three girls in the Johnston home. She was a beautiful girl who loved style and makeup, he said, pointing to two framed portrait photographs that have sat on the judges' benches at Kilmallock Courthouse all week. We wanted everyone to see her, is what older sisters Megan and Kate said 4 days ago before this distressing evidence began, of which they've sat through, it was noted, in a most dignified manner. It's been so distressing at times also, it was noted, for them and for staff at the hospital. The evidence we heard was that Aoife went to the out-of-hours Shannondock GP service after feeling unwell on vomiting later that afternoon on the 17th of December 22, the GP quickly noting in a referral letter to the emergency department in Limerick that she had suspected sepsis. She got there after 5 p.m. This letter was noted by a nurse on triage at 7:15 p.m. that evening, and with a Category 2 classification based on her sepsis query under international triage protocols, she should have been seen by a doctor within 10 to 15 minutes. Instead, it was after 6 a.m. the following morning when a doctor in what was described as the chaotic, war zone-like emergency department with 191 patients that night, it was also called a death trap today by its most senior consultant, finally came to see her. The doctor finding her lying on two chairs that her parents had put together. There were no trolleys left. It was an undignified breach of human rights, Dr. Jim Gray said today. The antibiotics she needed were finally prescribed, but not given for another an hour and 15 minutes. More delays due to the busyness of the emergency department, Mr. Tansey said. Aoife's parents had begged and roared for help, we heard in their tearful statements earlier this week. Other patients on trolleys pleaded for her too, but it was 15 hours and 15 minutes, Damien Tansey said, before she got the right treatment, by which time it was too late for her. Her death from meningitis confirmed on Monday, December 19th, to the devastation of her family, Sarah.
Can you tell us more then, John, about the coroner's ruling in this tragic case?
Yes, Sarah. John McNamara, the Limerick coroner, acknowledged the very difficult evidence for the family throughout 4 days this week and the deep upset caused for them and for members of staff at the University Hospital Limerick, some of whom, he said, we've heard, have resigned and never worked there again. He said this was a drain on resources too, when they're so badly needed in the hospital. In Aoife's case, he said there was systemic failures, missed opportunities and a breakdown communications many times throughout that night. Aoife could have been seen and treated in a timely manner for a treatable illness within an appropriate time frame, but wasn't given the antibiotics until the next morning when we heard it was too late, he said, and she died in the ICU on Monday, the 19th of December. He said the only verdict he could record was a verdict of death by medical misadventure. This, Sarah, is a term which refers to dying while in medical care or undergoing medical treatment, but it does not apportion blame to anyone or exonerate anyone either for the death of Aoife Johnston. The role of the coroner's court is not to apportion civil or determine criminal liability. We've been reminded many times in the inquest. And counsel for University of Limerick Hospital and the HSC, Conor Halpin, said he would not oppose this verdict of death by misadventure, as he reiterated apologies to the Johnston family and condolences on the loss of their daughter, Aoife.
The coroner also made a number of recommendations about the hospital in Limerick. John, can you tell us about that?
Yes, and this was a request from the Johnston family through Damien Tansey, their senior counsel, and the coroner, John McNamara, said he was keen to make recommendations too here. He said, "I'm very concerned about the overcrowding situation at the University Hospital Limerick Emergency Department." As a Limerick native myself, John McNamara said he noted the comments of Dr. Jim Gray, the emergency medical consultant today, who spoke of a dysfunctional death trap at the hospital. And Dr. Gray said the hospital, in his opinion, was still, the emergency department, was still a dangerous death trap. The coroner said this is not acceptable for people living in the Midwest region. He said he accepts the recommendations of the Hamilton report are ongoing. This refers to a separate inquiry carried out into Aoife Johnston's death previously, which led to 9 recommendations that we heard, 6 of which have been implemented. Ongoing problems, though, with some of them, including the need to move patients on trolleys out of the emergency department because there's still a lack of bed capacity and still 300 more beds needed, we heard today from Dr. Gray. The Hamilton recommendations also referred to sepsis management, communications, critical incident management, an escalation plan for emergency situations, and other staff training as well, as well as the recruiting of more non-consultant hospital doctors and nurses, which has happened, we're told, in significant numbers in recent months and weeks. He said he wanted to endorse the Hamilton recommendations and append them to his verdict, along with other recommendations put forward by the family and from himself, namely that a patient with suspected sepsis would have that marked on their medical chart on arrival at the emergency department, clearly on the exterior of the chart, and that that chart should be kept in a separate bundle to other charts in the emergency department until it's been seen by a doctor. Also, a recommendation for strict implementation of the new escalation plans for major emergencies that we were told are in place at the hospital since Aoife's death. And he called finally for a review of current escalation processes by ensuring, he said, there was no delay in contacting executive management team or those on call when required. The family had asked that this would happen by phone and email and would continue to happen until there were replies on hearing of unanswered text messages between managers on the night Aoife attended, Sarah.
Finally, John, I know you've been speaking to the Johnston family and we're going to be hearing from them in the next hour, but you might tell us briefly, what was their initial response?
The Johnston family welcomed the verdict of medical misadventure through tears again on this very distressing inquest that's gone on for 4 days now, Sarah. They were hugged and comforted by large numbers of friends and extended family who sat with them through 4 days of difficult evidence this week. They also spoke of their heartache and compounded grief on hearing evidence from the most senior consultant at the hospital today, that in his view, the emergency department, in his words, is still a death trap, and that promised beds next year, a new 96-bed block that's been promised and talked about in political circles and by hospital management, won't nearly be enough, he had said, to improve conditions there. They called on the health minister and Taoiseach to take action, including the reversal of the decision 15 years ago to close their local emergency department in County Clare, as well as the emergency department in Tipperary, in Nenagh, and St. John's in Limerick City, which has left, we heard throughout evidence, this University Hospital Limerick Emergency Department as the only accident and emergency facility for 425,000 people across 3 counties in the Midwest. And they spoke of their beloved, beautiful daughter, sister, and best friend, Aoife, and the life that tragically she'll never have. There were very tearful words, and we'll hear from them later on because they said it was very important to hear from about Aoife as well. But finally, they recalled their words of comfort to her in the final tragic hours of her life at Limerick Emergency Department. Aoife's mum, Carol, saying, "Get some rest, Aoife. The doctors will be here soon. You're in the best place." But she wasn't.
John Cook, thank you very much for that. And as you say, we'll hear a little bit more from the family a little later in the programme. Joanne, thank you very much for that. Now, as we've been reporting, a verdict of medical misadventure has been returned at the inquest into the death of Aoife Johnston. The 16-year-old from Shannon in County Clare died on the 19th of December 2022 from meningitis, having been referred to the emergency department at University Hospital Limerick 2 days earlier with suspected sepsis, but faced a wait of up to 15 hours for antibiotic treatment, which doctors said would most likely have saved her life. Expressing condolences to the Johnston family, the Limerick coroner, John McNamara, said there were systemic failures, missed opportunities and communication breakdowns throughout Aoife Johnston's time in the ED, and he's concerned at the ongoing problems at the hospital. We're going to go back now to our reporter, John Cook, who's still at the courthouse in Kilmallock. And just a warning from our listeners that there will follow some very distressing content. John, where Aoife Johnston's family have been giving their reaction?
That's right, Sarah. As I mentioned earlier, the Johnston family were commended for their dignity in court over these past 4 days in what was described as a very difficult inquiry with a lot of distressing evidence. The family and staff members from the hospital, among others, often in tears through their testimony over these 4 days. The Johnston family left the courthouse in Kilmallock in the last while, surrounded by a large crowd of extended family and friends from Shannon who've been with them throughout these 4 days, filling the benches of the courthouse in Kilmallock, along with their solicitor, Damien Tansey, who was senior counsel in this inquest. He addressed the large media presence first, outlining what happened to Aoife, the long delays in her care, and the devastating tragedy caused by systemic failures and breakdowns in communication in the emergency department, described by the most senior consultant in the emergency department in Limerick, Dr. Jim Gray, today, as a death trap for Aoife Johnston, he said.
She had no chance. By the time the correct treatment was administered at 7:15 the following morning, it was too late. And you heard Dr. Gray today, the casualty consultant in Limerick University Hospital, say that at 7:15 she was treated very well, but unfortunately it was too late. You heard Dr. Stapleton, the consultant in microbiology, yesterday say that by the time she received antibiotics, it was too late. And he also confirmed, tellingly, that all of the pathogens that were discovered in Aoife's system were all amenable to the ordinary antibiotics, all of them. So had she received the appropriate treatment in a timely manner, we wouldn't be here today, and that is an enormous tragedy. And she's dead because they didn't administer the appropriate treatment in a timely manner. And that is an enormous tragedy. And for the family to have to listen to that evidence from several of the key witnesses in the hospital was enormously difficult. They have got answers. They know why Aoife died. They were expecting and hoping that some answers and some explanations, some logical answers would be forthcoming to explain why she's fine on the morning of Saturday, the 17th of December, the last weekend before Christmas, and early the following morning she's beyond recovery. That is an enormous tragedy. And to have to hear the hospital staff tell them that has been very, very difficult. But they've, in a sense, Aoife's life, Aoife's memory, Aoife's position in the family has been vindicated.
And that's Damien Tansey, solicitor and senior counsel for the family of the late Aoife Johnston. John, you also spoke to her parents.
That's right, Sarah. As many family and friends supported the Johnston family, I also noticed some locals in Kilmallock, the court here just off the main street in Kilmallock, coming over to offer sympathies to James and Carol Johnston too, because they'd heard about what happened to their beautiful daughter, I heard one woman say in the news. I asked Carol and James what they wanted to say in relation to the verdict of medical misadventure at Limerick Coroner's Court today.
We went to the hospital, really. The only thing I can say is we went there to get help. We didn't receive it, so that's basically it, really, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You know, it's clear as day what happened this week, like.
Yeah. We arrived on the 17th and we never thought on the 19th we'd be leaving without Aoife. Aoife had, in my words, is a horrible death. So,
horrible death, yeah.
She suffered the whole night, and I think, you know, people need to know that. Like, we welcome the verdict and apologies, but not, it's not going to change anything. Aoife's gone, and that's what we've to live with now. I don't really know what else to say.
Can I ask, when you heard that Aoife tragically had no chance in a death trap emergency department, and Dr. Gray, the most senior consultant there today, says it's still a death trap. He says, look at the trolley numbers every day. How do you feel about that when you see that in the news?
It's terrifying. I'd be terrified to go in there myself, or if the girl, my own other children had to go in again. Carly. And that's really a sad state of affairs. Like, so we brought Aoife where we told her she would be looked after. But she wasn't. We told her she was in the best place.
Try and get some rest, Aoife.
Get some rest.
You're in the best place.
The doctors will be here soon, and the doctors never came.
What do you say to the powers that be? I suppose we heard there are government promises about how the hospital in Limerick will be reformed, about how services in the Midwest region are improving. What do you say to them now, to the Health Minister, who's promised recent investment, to the Taoiseach, who has indicated that in Dáil Éireann yesterday as well?
Well, I hope there's improvements. It's not really... We can't say anything about that, but
I just hope it's not all talk. No, they need to get on with it and sort it out. Yeah. Or more people are going to die in that hospital.
Yeah.
1,000,000%. They need to sort it out.
Can I just ask you what you would hope, after all this tragedy, Aoife's legacy would be?
Like, Aoife should be remembered. Aoife at the minute is remembered for a girl who died on a trolley. And that's how Aoife is known at the minute. But I suppose in time, when me and James can talk to someone properly, people will get to know the real Aoife and the lovely 16-year-old girl and our baby, and who we loved very, very much. And, you know, for her sisters loved her very much. Aoife was just a happy, easygoing girl, and happy-go-lucky, and got up, went to school, gone to her summer jobs, done everything, and I know what everyone says, but she was no hassle to me and her dad. She was a good kid, and as James would say, a cool kid and his best friend.
And
you know, we had good time. Like, Aoife came on holidays with us every year, even though she'd often say, no, I'm not going with you. She was too cool, but she loved every minute of it. Like, she, you know, Aoife spent a lot of time with us. Like, yeah.
And that's Aoife's parents, Carol and James. And her sisters, John, have also been present throughout those four very difficult days of distressing evidence as well.
Yes, Sarah, Megan and Kate Johnston left the court today, as they have arrived every day, carrying two framed portrait photographs of their beautiful little sister Aoife in their arms. They had placed them on the court benches here at the courthouse in Kilmallock earlier this week, and did so every day at the invitation of the coroner, John McNamara, saying, "We want everyone to see her," they had said on day one. They carried those photographs, and I asked them about it, and I could see it was very painful and deeply upsetting for them to speak about Aoife, as you'll hear in just a moment. But first, regarding the need for health reforms that I asked their parents, Carol and James, about, you'll hear them answer a question from one of my colleagues as to whether they would support a campaign that's ongoing in the Midwest for many years. We've reported on it on Drive Time many times before, calling for the reopening of emergency departments in Ennis in County Clare and Nenagh in County Tipperary and St John's in Limerick City, a reversal of the downgrading and reconfiguration that took place 15 years ago. Here's what they said.
100%.
It's clear as day they need another one.
Yeah. Definitely. Nothing, we can't make that happen, but from our experience, definitely, that it shouldn't happen to another child. Like I said, Aoife's gone now, so all the apologies and anything they put in place now isn't going to, the rest of our lives now, or it's not going to change that. So, yeah.
Can I ask, and it's okay if you don't want, Megan and Kate, you have beautiful pictures of Aoife in the court. You said very clearly on day one, you want people to see her. What do you want them to know about her, your sister?
Just that she was the best person. Like, I don't know.
It's okay. Megan, did you want to say anything?
Yeah, I just, like, I'll never ever forget Aoife. She was just the most amazing sister ever, and I It kills me all the time. I never got to say goodbye to her. When I got that call, Aoife was already gone. I never got to say goodbye to my little sister. I never got to see my sister and complete her leaving, sir. I never got to see my sister do her graduation. I never got to see my sister moving on to the next chapter with her boyfriend over there. That Aoife's boyfriend left heartbroken. Even when I knew Aoife was in hospital, I thought she was going to be okay. And then the next morning to get a call that she's in ICU, I didn't know what to do. Like, that's my baby sister. And we never get to see her again. Oh, but I'm just so grateful with this beautiful girl. Like, she was just a beautiful girl inside and out. She was just an amazing person, and I'll cherish the memories of her forever and ever.
And that's Megan Johnston remembering her late sister Aoife, ending John Cook's report from Limerick's Coroner Court in Kilmallock.